Superheroes have been in the cultural zeitgeist since mankind could tell stories. The ancients would rattle off tales and sagas of made-up heroic epics so often that many began to believe that the champions of the fables were real and the stories were true. Today, we regale similar theatrical accounts by characterizing humans and made-up gods with superpowers. They've had a resurgence in recent years by figuring out quality ways of portraying their stories from comic books to the big screen. The very first comic to ever get published in the United States was a long-forgotten comic strip called The Yellow Kid in McFadden Flats, which portrayed a boy in a yellow nightgown that read, "Well, holy gee, here's to you." Now, the best I could tell was that the yellow kid, Mickey Dugan, was a character that represented the reader as the comic told the story of the theater of the city. First published in 1897, the idea was to be able to open up the blind eye of the reader to the sins of the powers that be. Now, as the heroes of the comics evolved over the next 100 years, we started reading about our superheroes possessing superpowers that made up for our mere human weaknesses. They developed abilities to make them invisible, leave buildings in a single bound, and fly more fluidly than any bird or plane. And some of those we are familiar with, and even fans of their larger-than-life stories. A picture was floating around on the interwebs not long ago, and I think it even became a t-shirt, of our classic comic book superheroes all sitting on a ledge with Spider-Man hanging from a web just below the ridge. And all were listening with rapt attention to Jesus sitting in their midst as he explains, "And that's how I save the world." Now, I'm sure most would agree that our world needs saving. I mean, who would deny the darkness that we've experienced, the pain that we feel, and the utter dysfunction that seems to guide our culture? Perhaps that's why Bonnie Tyler sings in her anthem, "Holding Out for a Hero," that resonates with us somewhat at a gut level when she rings these words out. Where have all the good men gone? And where are all the gods? Where's the streetwise Hercules to fight the rising odds? Isn't there a white knight upon a fiery steed? Late at night, I toss and turn, and I dream of what I need. I need a hero. I'm holding out for a hero till the end of the night. He's got to be strong, he's got to be fast, and he's got to be fresh from the fight. Our entire existence cries out for a hero. In Mark chapter 11, verses 1 through 11, we're told of the arrival of the hero when we read this. Now, when they drew near to Jerusalem, to Bethpage and Bethany, at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples and said to them, "Go into the village in front of you, and immediately as you enter into it, you will find a colt tied, and on which no one has ever sat. Untie it and bring it. If anyone says to you, 'Why are you doing this?' say, 'The Lord has need of it, and we'll send it back here immediately.' And they went away and found a colt tied at the door outside the street, and they untied it. And some of those standing there said to them, 'What are you doing, untying the colt?' And they told them what Jesus had said, and they let him go. And they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks on it, and he sat on it. And many spread their cloaks on the road, and others spread leafy branches that they had cut from the fields. And those who went before and those who followed were shouting, 'Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest.' And he entered Jerusalem and went into the temple. And when he looked around at everything, as it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12." Now, 2,000 years may separate us from the events described in Mark 11, but truth be told, we're really no different from the people who lined the road to Jerusalem, spreading their cloaks and waving their palm branches, crying Hosanna. They too were holding out for a hero. In Alice Childress's novel, A Hero Ain't Nothing But a Sandwich, readers are introduced to Benji. He's a 13-year-old who lives with his mother, her boyfriend, and his grandmother in a declining neighborhood. Now, on the surface, he appears to be a good kid, but the pain of being abandoned by his biological father, his mixed feelings over his mother and her boyfriend's relationship, and his growing awareness of societal racism drives him first to marijuana, then later heroin, looking for an escape. "There's a hero in heroin after all," he says. It's a disenchanted Benji who eventually tells a social worker that in his neighborhood, a hero ain't nothing but a sandwich. Social worker reports that what Benji had said back to his mother and her boyfriend, Butler. She tells Butler that Benji needs a male hero figure with whom he can identify. She shows him a list of books about history, tells Butler about all the different movie stars and sports figures, and talks about how he should take Benji to the movies and ball games so that he can see more heroes. Butler listens until his patience runs out, then fires back. Some of these big-time celebrity high-lifers can take care of themselves. They in as much trouble as you and Benji. Y'all gotta learn to identify with me, who gotta get up to face the world every morning with a clear head and a heavy heart. Benji once told me a hero ain't nothing but a sandwich, and you say a hero is a celebrity. Listen to my credentials, then maybe y'all can pin me on a hero button. I'm supporting 3 adults, 1 child, and the United States government on my salary. I can't claim any of them for tax exemption, so explain to me no heroes. Pastor Gregory Holifield asks, what is a hero? A white knight upon a fiery steed like Bonnie Tyler dreamed and sang? A figure of historical significance? An athlete? A movie star? A politician who says all the right things? Benji and the social worker had their ideas of what makes a person a hero, but Butler knew better. He may not have been the hero they dreamed of, but he was the hero Benji needed. The people lining the parade route on that first Palm Sunday dreamed of a hero who would deliver them from the tyranny of Rome's boot. Their dreams drove their actions and words on that day. Now, you'll have to excuse any onlooking Roman soldier that day who was less than impressed with the peasant riding a donkey with other peasants' cloaks for a saddle. But to some of those onlookers, the scene was their own bat signal announcing the arrival of their hero with cries of Hosanna. Hosanna. It's an interesting word with a dual meaning. In one sense, it means Lord, save us. But in another sense, it means blessed is the Lord. Now, we can easily imagine those shouting on the parade route using that word for either one of those meanings. Historically, a triumphal entry ends at a temple or the primary city gate, with the arriving heroes paying homage to important officials and dignitaries. But this procession was different. There were others present that day, those who were blind and broken, the disheveled and the tired, some who were barely getting by, but all who joined the chorus, Hosanna. That's my story and the story of every believer. I was once blind, but now I see. I was broken, but my hero brought healing. Hearts and souls where the devil once made a playground, but Jesus triumphantly restores and forgives soul-wrenching shame and guilt, hate and fear. We cry Hosanna because we are where the triumphal entry arrives. We are the temple. This initiates Holy Week, the time we remember not just the historical nature of Jesus' passion, but the significance it holds for all who cling desperately to him. He is our hero, we are his triumph. Join us next time in our Holy Week devotion series as we remember Holy Monday and Holy Tuesday.